We're going to tackle the elephant in the room. Hello there, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb and I'm your host. This is the daily podcast where we are reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. Today our reading is Leviticus 16 through 18, after which, as usual, I will have some comments, and today's comments might not be very popular. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We ask that as we read it today, you would speak to us and help us to understand what you want us to know from it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's dig in. Leviticus 16. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron's two sons, when they approached the presence of the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother that he must not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil canopy in front of the atonement plate that is on the ark, so that he may not die, for I will appear in the cloud over the atonement plate. In this way Aaron is to enter into the sanctuary, with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He must put on a holy linen tunic. Linen leggings are to cover his body, and he is to wrap himself with a linen sash and wrap his head with a linen turban. They are holy garments, so he must bathe his body in water and put them on. He must also take two male goats from the congregation of the Israelites for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Then Aaron is to present the sin offering bull, which is for himself, and is to make atonement on behalf of himself and his household. He must then take the two goats and stand before them, before the Lord, at the entrance of the meeting tent. And Aaron is to cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and one lot for Azazel. Aaron must then present the goat which has been designated by lot for the Lord, and he is to make it a sin offering. But the goat which has been designated by lot for Azazel is to be stood alive before the Lord to make atonement on it by sending it away to Azazel and to the wilderness. Aaron is to present the sin offering bull which is for himself, and he is to make atonement on behalf of himself and his household. He is to slaughter the sin offering bull which is for himself, and take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and a full double handful of finely ground fragrant incense, and bring them inside the veil canopy. He must then put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of incense will cover the atonement plate which is above the ark of the testimony, so that he will not die. Then he is to take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the eastern face of the atonement plate. And in front of the atonement plate, he is to sprinkle some of the blood seven times with his finger. He must then slaughter the sin offering goat which is for the people. He is to bring its blood inside the veil canopy, and he is to do with its blood just as he did to the blood of the bull. He is to sprinkle it on the atonement plate and in front of the atonement plate. So he is to make atonement for the holy place from the impurities of the Israelites and from their transgressions with regard to all their sins. And thus he is to do for the meeting tent, which resides with them in the midst of their impurities. Nobody is to be in the meeting tent when he enters to make atonement in the holy place until he goes out and he has made atonement on his behalf, on behalf of his household, and on behalf of the whole assembly of Israel. Then he is to go out to the altar which is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He is to take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat, and put it all around on the horns of the altar. Then he is to sprinkle on it some of the blood with his finger seven times, and cleanse and consecrate it from the impurities of the Israelites. When he has finished purifying the holy place, the meeting tent, and the altar, he is to present the live goat. Aaron is to lay his two hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the Israelites and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And thus he is to put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man standing ready. The goat is to bear on itself all their iniquities into an inaccessible land. So he is to send the goat away in the wilderness. Aaron must then enter the meeting tent and take off the linen garments which he had put on when he entered the sanctuary, and leave them there. Then he must bathe his body in water in a holy place, put on his clothes, and go out and make his burnt offering and the people's burnt offering. So he is to make atonement on behalf of himself and the people. Then he is to offer up the fat of the sin offering in smoke on the altar. And the one who sent the goat away to Azazel must wash his clothes, bathe his body in water, and afterward he may re-enter the camp. The bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought to make atonement in the holy place, must be brought outside the camp, and their hide, their flesh, and their dung must be burned up. And the one who burns them must wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may re-enter the camp. This is to be a perpetual statute for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you must humble yourselves and do no work of any kind, both the native citizen and the foreigner who resides in your midst. For on this day, atonement is to be made for you to cleanse you from all your sins. You must be clean before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest for you, and you must humble yourselves. It is a perpetual statute. The priest who is anointed and ordained to act as high priest in place of his father is to make atonement. He is to put on the linen garments, the holy garments, and he is to purify the most holy place. He is to purify the meeting tent and the altar, and he is to make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. This is to be a perpetual statute for you to make atonement for the Israelites for all their sins once a year. So he did just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Leviticus chapter 17. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell Aaron, his sons, and all the Israelites that this is what the Lord has commanded. Any Israelite who slaughters a bull, sheep, or goat inside or outside the camp is guilty of bloodshed. He has shed blood and must be excluded from the people. Bring the animal to the entrance of the tent of meeting. Offer it to the Lord in front of the Lord's tent. This means that the people of Israel must take the sacrifices they have been making in the open fields and bring them to the Lord. They must bring them to the priest at the entrance to the tent of meeting. The people will sacrifice them as fellowship offerings to the Lord. The priest will pour the blood against the Lord's altar at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He will burn the fat as a soothing aroma to the Lord. The people must stop sacrificing to goat idols and chasing after them as though they were prostitutes. This is a permanent law for the people and for future generations. Tell them, if Israelites or foreigners make burnt offerings or sacrifices, but do not bring them to the entrance of the tent of meeting to offer them to the Lord, they must be excluded from the people. If Israelites or foreigners eat any blood, I will condemn them and exclude them from the people, because blood contains life. I have given this blood to you to make peace with me on the altar. Blood is needed to make peace with me. That is why I have said to the people of Israel, neither you nor foreigners should ever eat blood. If Israelites or foreigners hunt any animal or bird that may be eaten, they must pour out the animal's blood and cover it with dirt. This is because the life of any creature is in its blood. So I have said to the people of Israel, never eat any blood, because the life of any creature is in its blood. Whoever eats blood must be excluded from the people. Native Israelites or foreigners who eat the body of an animal that dies naturally or is killed by another animal must wash their clothes and their bodies. They will be unclean until evening. Then they will be clean. If they don't wash their clothes and their bodies, they will be guilty of sin. Leviticus chapter 18. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, I am the Lord your God. You used to live in Egypt. Don't live the way the Egyptians do. I am bringing you to Canaan. Don't live the way the Canaanites do. Never live by their standards. Follow my rules and live by my standards. I am the Lord your God. Live by my standards and obey my rules. You will have life through them. I am the Lord. Never have sexual intercourse with anyone related to you by blood. I am the Lord. Never have sexual intercourse with your mother. She is your own mother. Never have sexual intercourse with her. Never have sexual intercourse with your stepmother. She is related to you through your father. Never have sexual intercourse with your stepsister, whether she is your father's daughter or your mother's daughter. It makes no difference whether or not she was born in your house. Never have sexual intercourse with your granddaughter, whether she is your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, because she is related to you. Never have sexual intercourse with the daughter of your father and his wife. She is your own sister. Never have sexual intercourse with your father's sister. She is your paternal aunt. Never have sexual intercourse with your mother's sister. She is your maternal aunt. Never have sexual intercourse with the wife of your father's brother. She, too, is your aunt. Never have sexual intercourse with your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. Never have sexual intercourse with her. Never have sexual intercourse with your sister-in-law. She is your brother's wife. Never have sexual intercourse with a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her granddaughter. They are related. Doing this is perverted. While your wife is living, never marry her sister as a rival wife and have sexual intercourse with her. Never have sexual intercourse with a woman while she is unclean during her monthly period. Never have sexual intercourse with your neighbor's wife and become unclean with her. Never give your children as sacrifices to the god Molech by burning them alive. If you do, you are dishonoring the name of your God. I am your God. Never have sexual intercourse with a man as with a woman. It is disgusting. Never have sexual intercourse with any animal and become unclean with it. A woman must never offer herself to an animal for sexual intercourse. It is unnatural. Do not become unclean in any of these ways. By these practices, all the nations which I am forcing out of your way have become unclean. The land has become unclean. I will punish it for its sins. The land will vomit out those who live in it. Live by my standards and obey my rules. Neither you nor any foreigner should ever do any of these disgusting things. The people of the land who were there before you did all these disgusting things. As a result, the land has become unclean. If you make the land unclean, it will vomit you out as it has vomited out the people who were there before you. Whoever does any of these disgusting things must be excluded from the people. So you must follow my instructions. Don't live by the standards of the people who lived there before you. What they do is disgusting. Never become unclean that way. I am the Lord your God. All right, we're going to tackle the elephant in the room in chapter 18. And by the way, this is one of the reasons, the main reason actually, why I don't take advertisers on the show and why I'm not interested in having the show on any of the podcast networks. What I'm about to say would probably, no, I'm sure, would get me canceled. But the reason I'm here is to accurately reflect what I believe the clear teaching of the Bible is, regardless of the current culture, or even regardless of my own thoughts. The Bible is my plumb line. Now, in case you're not familiar with that phrase, a plumb line is used to show what is absolutely vertical. It's usually a string with a weight tied on one end. I used to be in construction many years ago, and when building a wall, you want to build it straight and true. One of the tools you can use to show if the wall is straight up and down is a plumb line. You hold onto the string with the weight, or the plumb, hanging down, and you hold the line up next to, but not quite, touching the wall. The string should be the same distance from the wall all the way from the top to the bottom. If it isn't, then your wall is not exactly vertical. It's leaning one way or the other, and you can tell by the distance of the line from top to bottom. Does that make sense? So if the string is closer at the top than it is at the bottom, if there's a greater distance between the wall and the string on the bottom, then you know that the wall is leaning that way. I don't want to beat a dead horse. I think you get the idea. The main idea here is that the plumb line is an absolute standard of what is straight and true. And so is the Bible. What the Bible says is the truth. If there's any variation from that truth, from the standard, then adjustments have to be made, if your goal is to adhere to the standard. As believers, that should be our goal. If that isn't your goal, then you have to have a conversation with yourself. You have to decide if you truly are a believer in Jesus, because he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." That's in John 14:15. So what is the elephant in the room? Right. In verse 22 of Leviticus 18, the plumb line says, "Don't have sex with a man as one does with a woman. That is disgusting," it said in today's translation. That's God's Word translation. In the King James, it says, "That is abomination." In the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it's detestable. In the Message, it's abhorrent. In all the rest of the English translations, it's going to be one of those words, I think. There may be another variation somewhere, but you get the idea. God said that homosexuality is disgusting, an abomination, detestable, abhorrent. There you go. Now, I know that more and more homosexuality is accepted as a lifestyle in today's culture. But today's text, and many others, by the way, tell us that God does not accept it. Billy Graham was once asked if he really believed that only Christians would get into heaven. Did he really believe that Jews or Muslims or Buddhists and people who had lived good lives would not be allowed into heaven? Billy's response was, and I'm probably paraphrasing, this is what he said to the best of my recollection. He said, "It doesn't matter what I think. It's what the Bible says. If you don't agree, take it up with God." Now, I know some homosexual people, several, and I'm friendly with them. I don't hate them, and I'm not afraid of them. You know, that's what phobic means, right? To have a phobia about something is to be afraid of it. Most of the homosexuals I know are decent people. But as long as they participate in this behavior, they're out of God's will. But listen very carefully, beloved. Homosexuality is not worse than adultery. It's not worse than theft. It's not worse than gossiping. It's not worse than cheating on your taxes. It's a sin. And all sin separates us from God. And all sin is forgivable but one: blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But remember what Jesus said when he forgave the woman caught in the act of adultery. He said, "Go and sin no more." You can't be born again if you don't repent or turn from your sin. Yes, we all sin, even after being born again. But if we know what sin is and we refuse to turn away from it, then you have to question your salvation. Did you really submit to the Lordship of Jesus? He's more than just our Savior. He's our Lord as well. Lord means king, ruler, head honcho, if you will. And again, let me reiterate that this is true of any sin, not just homosexuality. Also, let me say that holding this belief about the correctness of this verse in Leviticus does not license anyone to mistreat homosexual people in any way. Our model is Jesus. The only people he was ever cross with were the religious hypocrites. He never mistreated those sinners who came to him humbly. He treated them how? With love and respect. He didn't condone their behavior, but he didn't mistreat them. He told them that they should stop their sinful behavior, but notice that he didn't lead with that. In other words, he first ministered to them, and then he told them to stop sinning. Standing on a street corner with a hateful sign is not the way Jesus changed hearts and minds, so I'm sure it's not what he would have us do either. So there you have it. When it comes to God's Word, I have to tell you the way I see it. I won't sugarcoat it. I won't compromise. I won't leave it out. I believe every word in the Bible. And since God doesn't change, I'm quite sure his word doesn't change either. If we try to change it, we do so at our peril. I actually think it's a shame that so much is made of this particular issue, because so much of the Bible tells us how much God loves us, how unwilling he is that any should perish, and how much he did to make it possible for anyone who will to have fellowship with him. But the pride of mankind makes it so difficult for some people to submit to God's lordship. If only they would realize that being in his will is infinitely better than being out of his will. I know, because I've spent periods of my life where I was soundly in violation of his will, as many of you listening probably have as well. It's not a fun place to be long term, is it? Most definitely not. When I'm living according to what I know to be right, according to the plumb line of God's Word, there is a joy, a peace, and an everything is all right with the world assuredness that can't be taken away. Sure, chaos and troubles continue to whirl around me and sometimes even affect my mood, but in my core, in my inner self, God's peace abides. I would love to hear your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. To find out what Bible translations I use today, go to the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode number 197, or if your podcast app shows the show notes, it's right there. I talked about this yesterday, and I'm going to talk about it again if you don't mind. There's a very real cost in finances and time for me to produce this show. If you're listening, you obviously find value in the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, and I'm asking that you put a number on that value, whatever you feel is right. A dollar a week, 10, 100, it's up to you. It's not up to me to assign a number. Whatever you think it's worth to use is what I would like you to assign a number to and send that to me at lifespringmedia.com/support. Help me out with the costs here. I'm far from a rich man, and your help would be much appreciated. Thank you. Tomorrow we're going to read 2 Kings 11 through 15. And until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thanks for being here. Bye.